Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to M&A Today. My name is Warren Rose, and I am a senior partner at Grosch, Rose & Moore, and I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes, not only today, but every Monday and Friday at noon Eastern. You may call into the live broadcast with questions or comments by phoning 347-637-3512 at any time during the course of the show. We've actually had several email questions, and I'll address those today and get back to taking calls on Friday. So we're going to do this show a little different today. In future episodes, we will have guests from the industry, as well as authors and other experts in their related field. You will also be able to listen to previous broadcasts via our website and Facebook page. The purpose of this broadcast is to not only educate and inform those of you within the industry, but to give an insight into the advantages of using a professional M&A firm for businesses within the middle market segmentation. I want to thank everyone who listened live or downloaded the maiden broadcast on Friday. We really appreciate you being part of the show. On today's show, I will answer the emails we received, but before that, I'd like to address the industry trends and insights as described in the title. So let's start with a view from 30,000 feet. According to an industry analysis by White & Chase, and they are an international law firm that serves companies, governments, and financial institutions, in spite of several quarters of growing uncertainty about economic headwinds, U.S. M&A deal value grew again in the first half of 2019. Overall value for the first 6 months of this year was up 9% compared to the same for 2018. Overall value for the first 6 months of this year was up 9% compared to last year in the same period. And U.S. deal value took up a larger share of global M&A, making up 53% of total global deal value, up from 41% in the first half of 2018. U.S. deal volume, on the other hand, was down 21% compared to 2018 in the first half. 2018 was a record year for deal volume, so remember that, but this is still good news, particularly since global activity declined on both value and volume measure this year. There are some signs that we are due for an economic correction that happens every once in a while, despite a U.S. economy that remains healthy. Yet the U.S. economic backdrop remains favorable, at least for now. Capital markets are at record levels, and there is plenty of financing available for companies who need it for fund deal making. Private equity firms continue to amass capital to deploy. Whether the second half of the year can sustain the same level of activity as the first half remains to be seen. The year-on-year growth in M&A value suggests that deal makers still have an appetite as well as the capacity to execute deals if the strategic rationale makes sense. Now, in addressing what I mentioned earlier, from personal experience, M&A deal making on both the buy and sell side occurs regardless of economic conditions. It is important to find a reliable firm that listens and understands your needs, no matter what your business situation is. We've reached the part of the broadcast where I get to stop and tell you a few things about our firm, Grosch, Rose & Moore. I just mentioned the importance of finding an M&A firm that listens, and I believe that that's the client approach that actually sets us apart from our competition. First and foremost, we listen to our clients and then take that knowledge, leveraged by our experience and vast contacts, to create the right fit. We then focus on what is important to you, your business, any shareholders. Although you are in charge of the process, we do the work so that you can concentrate on your business. We also strive to conduct ourselves in a manner that makes certain everyone is treated fairly and equitably. So whether you are looking to buy, sell, consolidate, form a strategic alliance, get a business valuation, or consultation, give me a call at 303-941-7865 or email wrose@grossrosemoore.com. Bottom line, we only want a fee if we've earned it. Even on the buy or sell side, no deal, no fee. It's really that simple. So let's go to the couple of emails that I mentioned earlier. I received these from last week's show. The first is from Daniel, who asked, could you further explain strategic alliances that you mentioned last week? Well, we'll start out with the simple definition. A strategic alliance is an arrangement between two companies to undertake a mutually beneficial project while each one retains its independence. The agreement is less complex and less binding than a joint venture in which two businesses pool the resource to create a separate business entity. A company may enter into a strategic alliance to expand into a new market, improve its product line, or develop an edge over a competitor. The arrangement allows two businesses to work toward a common goal that will benefit both. The relationship may be short or long-term, and the agreement may be formal or informal. While the strategic alliance can be an informal alliance, the responsibilities of each member are clearly defined. You need to make sure that there's a meeting of the mind for this. The needs and benefits gained by the partnered businesses will dictate how long the coalition is in effect. The effects of forming a strategic alliance can include allowing each of the businesses to achieve organic growth more quickly than if they had acted alone. The partnership also entails sharing resources that only one of the companies possess. As an example, if a small printing company allied with another that owned high-speed presses, the small business could capture more of the local printing businesses at a lesser cost. Strategic alliances can be flexible, and some of the burdens that a joint venture could include, the two firms do not need to merge capital and can remain independent from one another. Finally, on this subject, strategic alliances can come in many sizes and forms. So a few examples. An oil and natural gas company might form a strategic alliance with a research lab to develop more commercially viable recovery processes. A clothing retailer might form a strategic alliance with a single manufacturer to ensure consistent quality and sizing. A website could form a strategic alliance with an analysis company to improve its marketing efforts. So hopefully that answered your question, Daniel. I appreciate you sending that in to us. Just email me if you have any further questions or need for me to clarify anything. Second email I received, one was from Connie regarding a subject from last week. Can you explain the different methods of business valuations? Well, a business valuation is a general process of determining the economic value of a whole or part of a business unit. Business valuations can be used to determine the fair value of a business for a variety of reasons, including the sale, establishing partner ownership, taxation, divorce proceedings, you name it. Owners will often turn to professional business evaluators for an objective estimate of the value of their business. Estimating the fair value of a business is an art and a science. There are several formal models that can be used, but choosing the right one and then the appropriate inputs can be somewhat subjective. The topic of business valuation is frequently discussed in corporate finance. Business valuation is typically conducted when a company is looking to sell all or a portion of its operations or looking to merge or acquire another company. The valuation of a business is the process of determining the current worth of it using objective measures and evaluating all aspects of the business. A business valuation may even include analysis of the company's management, its capital structure, future earning prospects, or the market value of its assets. The tools used for valuation can vary among evaluators, businesses, and industries. Common approaches to business valuation include a review of financial statements, discounting cash flow models, and similar company comparisons. Valuation is also very important in tax reporting. The IRS requires that a business is valued based upon its fair market value. Some tax-related events, such as a sale, purchase, or giving shares of a company, will be taxed depending on its valuation. So the big takeaways here are business valuation is a general process of determining the values. Business valuations can be used to determine a fair market value for a variety of reasons, and several methods exist to estimate the value, such as looking at a market cap, earnings multiplier, book value, among others. So let's start with this. First is market capitalization. Market capitalization is the simplest method of business valuation. It is calculated by multiplying the company's share price by the total number of shares outstanding. Pretty simple. Next is times revenue method. Under the times revenue method, business valuation method, a stream of revenues generated over a certain period of a time is applied to a multiplier which depends on the industry and the economic environment. So really depends on the business and the industry and some of the economic conditions. Some companies could be at 3x revenue. Others could be valued as much as 10x revenue. Each company and industry is unique, so you need somebody to walk you through that. Then there's the earnings multiplier method. Instead of the times revenue method, the earnings multiplier may be used to get a more accurate picture of a retail value, real value of a company. Since a company's profits are a more reliable indicator of its financial success than sales revenue, the earnings multiplier adjusts future profits against cash flow that could be invested at the current interest rate over the same period of time. In other words, it adjusts the current PE ratio to account for current interest rates. Another is discounted cash flow. It is similar to the earnings multiplier. Method is based on projections of cash flow, which are used to, we adjust those according to the value of the market. The main difference between the discounted cash flow method and the profit multiplier method is that it takes inflation into consideration. Then there's book value. This is the value of the shareholders' equity of the business as shown on the balance sheet. And finally, liquidation value. This is the net cash that a business will receive if the assets were liquidated and liabilities were paid off. This is by no means an exhaustive list of the business valuation methods in use today. Other methods include replacement value, breakup value, asset-based value, and still many more. I've tried to address the primary methods today. So we're currently running out of time. We only got a few seconds. I want to thank our listeners from Friday and, again, those of you tuning in today. Please come check us out for our third episode on this Friday at noon. Working on a couple surprises for that. Remember, we will be here every Monday and Friday at noon Eastern with different topics and on each and every broadcast. Thanks again for listening to M&A Today. Have a great week, and we will talk again on Friday. Thank you so much.